Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it's now or never, and I can't thank you enough for tuning in. I hope you had a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed the beginnings of maybe the last days of our ability to refer to the doldrums of summer, maybe. Who knows? We may not even be able to enjoy the doldrums of summer this year. I think that may be something that will be lost, and the simple things in life are being lost. And there's something we can do about it. We have to take our government back. And there are processes for this. And so I have to be the first one to tell you that single point issues are very easy to obtain a person's focus and interest and even commitment. But they do nothing to solve the problem. And so what ends up happening is people chase these shiny objects. You know, let's just say that there's something shining in the distance. Well, it's really easy to just go off and chase that and go, wow, you know, this is important. You know, it's all important, folks. Every single bit of it's important. I'm not here to tell you that the Second Amendment is not important. I'm not here to tell you that the expression of religious, your religious rights of worship, that's not important. I'm not here to tell you that your freedom of speech and expression isn't important, nor are your privacies. You'll be secure in your person. That I'm not here to tell you that's not important. What I'm here to tell you is everything that the Constitution protects, everything that the Constitution establishes as the enumerated roles, responsibilities, and powers, that is all important. And I'm here to tell you that when you start cherry-picking, you play a very dangerous game. Because when you start cherry-picking which ones you want to support and what things you think is more important, I'm going to tell you, 9 times out of 10, if not 100% of the time, you're wrong. The entire Constitution is important, and that one part of it can be marginalized. And I will tell you that the most important part of the Constitution is coming to the knowledge from Article 7 who the parties are to it and what the Constitution is. Once you understand this, once you understand that the states are the parties and that what that means is that the states have the ultimate say. So why are you fighting? Why are you going to court against the federal government? Your cases, your law, the things that you need to resolve need to be resolved in the state courts. At least that's the farthest you should go. More importantly, you have the ability to actually use First Amendment petitions to go after your government employees, your public servants, the bureaucrats who are serving you, and get rid of them. You have the power just as a U.S. citizen. The only thing you need is you need to create a consensus. And in working together and in working, embracing the full Constitution, this is an easy thing to do. This is why we go through this little thing called the comprehensive positions on the constitutional issues of campaigning for this year and so forth. And we just kind of sum it up as the Bill of Rights for 2022. And it'll be the Bill of Rights forever. These things are issues that we have to put our foot down for. Now, we gave you, and I take the time every once in a while to actually prove to you how evil has really advanced into, they're entrenched in your government. They actually have communist planners implementing policies and plans to force you into this communist revolution. This revolution is so methodically being done that what we see and what we witness is only the mayhem and the anarchy to convince people to, you know, you better stay out of this. You better not get involved, or we're going to hurt you. And my friends, I believe that if you actually take a stand and you take a swing, it's kind of like that old adage. The bully never expects to get punched back. And when he experiences pain for the first time, they kind of, oh, wow, or they start crying. They run off because you broke their nose. We cannot allow bullies. And I believe that it's within the American DNA that bullies are unacceptable in America. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we're stupid enough to try to pass bully laws to keep kids from getting bullied. I hate to tell you that, you know, it's sad. It's an indictment when we see kids resorting to suicide. But I don't think it has anything to do with the kid itself or the bullying itself. I think it has a lot more to do with the powder coating, the mollycoddling, and so forth, and the lack of direct intervention to, you know, to help children understand, hey, you know what, where's the adage, sticks and stones can break my bones and words can never hurt me? Where is that? And so we had bullies. I mean, the bullying goes, I remember my father telling me stories of how he was bullied and beaten upon. He didn't kill himself. We had generations of people that had it tough. And so there's way too much emphasis. I will also say that by getting your kids technology and getting them involved with social media, those types of things, that is terrible. That is absolutely terrible. I think that's child abuse. And giving a child just a phone is child abuse, especially when you understand the dangers that you're placing into their hands regarding the emanations of energy that will be damaging their body and, you know, causing all sorts of havoc on them, to where the likelihood of them having cancer and or tumors and all sorts of other things at a young age, why would a parent do that? It just doesn't make sense. Well, anyway, we got a lot to go through. We got a lot of these issues that we want to go through, and I'm hoping, actually, as I look at it, we might be able to spin through most of it today. There are a whole bunch of lingering issues in the very bottom of this document, a lot of lingering issues. And this document will not be perfected when we get this posted, because we will make this available for you. However, the issues at the bottom, we're just going to kind of read through when we finally get to that level where it's just, you know, some bullets. And there's not much to expound upon. It should make common sense. It, you know, sometimes you could just say Obama was an evil man. Obama is an evil man. I mean, that just makes sense, right? We don't have to expound upon that. You know, Biden is an evil man. Do you really need more details? I mean, I think everybody else can connect the dots. So what we want to do is we want to just go through these topics so that you understand how there's a lot more connected here, and how we actually have, now, what we have here is an interruption that I really hate to have, but, and I've silenced it. Anyway, so what we have here is, I believe, the makings of petitions and the makings of more, you know, more fodder, more weapons, more stones to throw at your county commissioners. We got a lot, and there's even a lot more coming, because these issues and these petitions that I've created, these are strictly based on the U.S. Constitution. So let's get through some of the obligatories so we can move forward. As you know, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and this is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. We are asking you to subscribe to the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. Now, if you are looking for financial advice, you need some financial assistance, contact Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching. He will help you get motivated and get invigorated in making the most out of your money to where you can become independent. It's a paradigm change. It's not necessarily a way of how you, you know, can go out and make more money. Most people make enough money, they just don't manage their money well. And so you start there, and then you can start learning how you can do more and more with that money and even bring more money in by using your money as your asset. Anyway, let's go also down this path of protecting those things that you spend your money on. Contact Stan Kluwit at RadioDustCovers.com. This is where you can actually get, yourself, you know, protection for these expensive pieces of equipment, for your computers and stuff. Make them last the longest. Why go out and spend more money? Unfortunately, there's way too many parts that we're buying from China and overseas and so forth. Let's not send, you know, blind money overseas. This is not frolic around and allow our things to get damaged to where we have to buy more. So one other thing I want to add into here is I highly want you to start considering looking into, highly recommend that you look into getting what we would call your own domain space. Figure out what your domain should be, because I truly believe that there's a need and a time coming very quickly where you, if you're sitting in Yahoo Mail, Google Mail, and all Outlook Mail, and all these other ones. Wow, well, that was way too loud. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, what we want to do is we want to make sure that you start looking into protecting yourself, your email, and so forth, because your communications are being slammed by these Google Mails. And I'll talk more about that when we come back from the break, because it's really important that you get your arms around your own domain. We'll be back just after this. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so we just to let you know, we had a little bit of difficulty in the studio. Apparently, the headphone wire was kind of traveling across the old mixer, and any movement on it was slowly pushing and moving that volume level in the direction it would be pulling, obviously, up. And so that's what we ended up having to do. So we've fixed the problem, and now we're ready to move on. So one of the things we mentioned last week was we were coming up with a mechanism in a way. There's a lot of need for my time with a lot of different candidates and so forth. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to focus specific needs for candidates and actually start and create, let's just call it a working forum for people to call in a public forum to be able to discuss what you're doing and how to do it and how to use these petitions and so forth. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make available to you how you can become successful in leading and how you can initiate the monetizing and all of those types of things. So we've already got a toll-free line for people to call, I believe it's a toll-free line. It's a free conference call, but what we're going to be doing is we'll let you know what and how to do this. Well, hopefully you have this all worked out in the next week or two so that we can actually focus on doing this. And we're going to do this based on the demand. So in other words, if the demand grows to a point where we need to do this more than once a week, then we will do that as necessary. Or if the demand isn't there as much, then maybe what we'll do is we'll do it every other week until people have the time. Because I know myself, my personal time gets really, really thin. I don't have a lot of spare time when it comes to summertime. That's where we get all the work done, the little jobs done around the house and so forth. Because once it starts freezing and snowing, there's not much work you can get done outside and other things around the house because it just makes it too difficult. So what we want to be sympathetic to everybody that faces these similar situations. And so what we want to do is make sure that we are able to provide the necessary support for those of you who are doing this. Now, I know, and the other thing is we have to figure out what day to do this. I know the National Liberty Alliance has their days of doing this on Mondays and Tuesdays for their leadership. Now, what we want to do is we want to start offering this for either Wednesday or Thursday. And so we're trying to figure out between the different groups. So we're going to talk to Mark Lerner with the Constitutional Association, because I know he has lots of people that are involved with him and that he works with, along with the Constitution Association, the NLA, the Constitution Party, so forth and so on. We want to make sure that we have a direct access. So in other words, it's not me broadcasting, not necessarily me going through all the content. This is the time, because it seems to come up that, you know, people, you know, end up asking questions. Now, technically, the questions that I get could easily be answered if you listen to these podcasts, these shows. I know we're all busy, folks, and it's just, you know, it's just easier to ask so that you can get the skinny. But there's a lot of other details that we provide that are also necessary that sometimes you won't think to ask for. Now, I have asked, and I will put it out there again, if you want to help me, just sit down and write down the topics of what we cover and basically like a syllabus of the day show, or basically not a transcript, but just a high-level notes, what we talked about today, what we talked about tomorrow and in the past and so forth. And what we'll do is we'll use that for actually putting up on the website so that people can actually say, oh, okay, this is where this is covered. Because when I'm done with this show, when I do this show, the amount of time it takes for me to do shows and then go off and do all the other things I do, I used to do it. I just don't have the time. And I did it when I had one show one day a week. But when we started going to a daily show, along with all the other things I'm doing and supporting a lot of other people, I need your help, folks. I'm just saying. If you want to know what's on the shows, that would be a great help. Anyhow, let me just kind of move forward, because what we've just covered was we gave you the paradigm of why the oath of office was a huge deal. Most people don't even know that the oath of office, this was a unique babe. This was a unique idea. This was a gem that was inserted into this, that even James Monroe said that because of this, he thought that this was brilliant. As a matter of fact, I hate just paraphrasing. This is exactly what he said. Another circumstance will operate in its favor in case of a contest The oath that is to be taken to support it will aid it most powerfully. The influence which the sanction of oaths has on men is irresistible. The religious authority of divine revelation will be quoted to prove the propriety of adhering to it and will have great influence in disposing men's minds to maintain it. Now, he was an anti-federalist. He actually voted against this initially. He didn't want to see this Constitution ratification, this ratification of the Constitution. However, this was June 10th, so this was a good week plus into this. And here he is. He's basically saying, you know, I got to admit, this is really brilliant. Because in England, they relied upon the honor of the men and the character. Well, we already see what honor and character does today. Take that to the market and see how many eggs you bring home, right? So as they really, and they even defined this. We even had, I think it was Mr. Iredell. Yep, he basically defined it. We went through a few other personal views and considerations. And then we went through the oath of a citizen, the naturalization oath, and then the citizen's oath. So that everybody understands that we as citizens, we have an oath to support the Constitution. I mean, it's great that you support these ideologies, but the Constitution and the laws of the land do not allow you to inflict upon others a certain behavior, that they have to act a certain way. When you have an organization and or a group that is going around and actually taking away the rights of others, and I'll put it into context, ham, bacon, pork meat. You have a religious sect out there that not only just says that you shouldn't eat that, they want to pass laws to keep you from being able to buy it and eradicate it and make it illegal in America. Well, folks, and they don't want to do this constitutionally. In other words, they want to just pass the laws to inhibit you. But those types of laws are unconstitutional. When you understand that you can't compel people to do things, it's almost like the blue laws themselves. Now, when enough people in a local area say we want to inflict this type of pain, we kind of look at it and go, you know, that's kind of acceptable. There are things that tend and lend to enlightenment and basically improving the behavior of society. Those types of things, once you academically prove that these things are better, then, you know, I think you're going down that path of, you know, improving society. But you have to do it so that people do it willingly. And or, you know, what we do when it came to tobacco, when it came to alcohol, we knew that these things were evil, they were harmful. Well, what did we do? We added an excise tax to them. So start adding excise taxes just to say, okay, because you're going to be doing this, this means, and the people that are doing this, we're going to have you subsidize the healthcare for people. You're going to subsidize, you know, the services for people or what have you. That's how they use excise taxes. The best way to shut down subsidies is to live accordingly so that we no longer are, you know, living in an unenlightened society. And an enlightened society is one that embraces the discipline so that one can actually live a healthier life, live longer, be more productive, and contribute more. I mean, when we look at the obligation we have to society, mankind, to help everybody thrive, I mean, is that not what Christian? I mean, this all aligns with Christianity. And that's why it all stems from the laws of nature and nature's God. We cannot allow certain types of behaviors to actually be, you know, subsidized. And I'll give you another case in point, and then we'll get into the oaths again. When you have an individual who engages in behavior that the consequences are that they can't have children, then you have basically eliminated yourself and you've made that choice to do that. So you don't have any right to come back to anybody else and say, well, you've got to help me do this. You need to help me do this. As a matter of fact, we should actually, you know, and it fits within reason to say in an enlightened society that those people who choose to do those things, they shouldn't be able to. They shouldn't have that. We should not be removing the consequences. There are reasons why these consequences exist. And so when we start looking at, you know, what is going on, why is it that these people can't have kids, then okay, that's fine. Then you can't have kids and you shouldn't have access to kids either, because we don't want people to start practicing these indecent, immoral, or destructive behaviors that will actually bring down society. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
You know, a good enlightened society requires discipline, and it requires personal responsibility and accountability. Because when somebody does something that is contrary for the benefit of society, then they should be more than willing to actually, you know, tote the line. It are the few that feel like they are entitled. It is the few that feels like they shouldn't have to be punished or, you know, do without. It's like, if you understand the parable of the 10 virgins and how five of the virgins, their vessels don't have enough oil. And so they run to the other virgins and say, give me some of yours so that I too can come. And so, you know, in other words, you know, they knew the importance of keeping their oil lamps filled. And they didn't. They, you know, wasted some. And when the time came, they didn't have it. They didn't have the prerequisite. Well, if you understood the prerequisite and you don't live to that, then why would you think you'd be entitled? See, we need to start understanding that with specific things, specific behavior, there will be consequences. Folks, the sooner we get this into our heads, the sooner we can start really turning society around and become an enlightened society again.
We all need to think before we act to understand what are the consequences, and are we willing to take the consequences, or are we going to scream like, you know, a drunken banshee and go, gimme, gimme, gimme. I still want what I screwed up but I can't have. Folks, this is the conversations we have to be having with our children. This is the conversation we have to be having in our community. We need to really bring things down to really help people understand what is the path forward in improving society. It has nothing to do with enabling bad behavior. It has everything to do with disciplining ourselves and moving in a direction so we're no longer encumbered by bad behavior, addictions, and these types of things. We need to remove these things from our lives. And I know it's a challenge. I know there's plenty of people out there that are addicted to all sorts of things. I know how difficult it is. Believe me, I've been there. I deal with it too. You know, summertime is very, very hard because I love ice cream. It's almost like an addiction. You get me started, I just... But bottom line, I have to have discipline because there are consequences. There's consequences if you keep on eating crap all the time. It affects your health. It affects your body. You get fat. You get bloated. It affects you. There's even worse addictions that affect you worse, not just physically, but morally, spiritually. We need to understand the importance of behavior. So what does this all have to do with the oath? Well, the oath requires that we behave a very specific way. This is why when we went through the natural born citizen's oath, all we did was we shaved off the declaration of allegiance to any former state, potent, and sovereign, and then stated that we would support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. In other words, we ourselves basically stated that we will put the Constitution first. And then we have people understanding that there's this oath, this underlying oath, that we all need to be doing this. Then they go off and they get engaged in a party apparatus that is not supporting the Constitution. So the question is for you, and the question I ask for those of you who go into the party, you know, meetings and so forth, ask them, how are we fulfilling our oath of office by supporting and defending the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic? In other words, if we've got people that are not supporting the Constitution in office that are Republicans, we need to be going after them. If they're not in, you know, if they're in office and not supporting the Constitution and of a different party, it doesn't matter what that party is, we need to be going after them. We need to make sure that everybody totes the line. We can't just passively say, oh, well, and not hold them accountable. See, the theory is, and there's very few that will buck this, that there is a judgment day, that we all are living a life, and we have an opportunity in this life to obtain forgiveness for the things we've done. Now we also have the grace of God and the atonement and the ability to be resurrected, but there still is a judgment day. Because in Revelations, that's what John says. He saw this great book that all would be judged. And my point, my friends, is that we need to start changing our own lives, and we need, Christ constantly talked about, and his gospel is about repentance. Start recognizing where we're falling short. Well, let's do the same thing when it comes to supporting the Constitution. Let's actually start holding ourselves accountable and holding others accountable in this process. Now, Article 6, Section 3 of the Constitution, to support the Constitution, requires every public servant must support the Constitution. And so What does Article 6 actually say? Well, let me pull it up here. Because Article 6 says this: the senators and representatives before mentioned and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers both of the United States and of the several states shall be bound by an oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. But no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification for any office or public trust under the United States. Well, nor can it be used as a disqualification. In other words, they can't use it for qualification purposes, but they can't use it for disqualification. The secular godless people like Dianne Feinstein, she uses it as a disqualification standard. She has no business using religion as a test at all for public office or trust. But they do it all the time. That's the evil one. You know, but it's equally evil for you to stand up and say, I measure you by my sect. I measure you by my faith and my religious doctrine that I believe. And if you don't align up to how I believe, then I'm judging you are not worthy. But we're being, you know, if there's anything that really speaks of the divine hand of providence, it is this right here. Because clearly, as we start understanding when it comes to government, we're not talking about putting somebody in as your minister. We're not talking about putting somebody and establishing a prophet of God. We're talking about somebody that is becoming a public servant who is to serve you, to basically do their roles and responsibilities to ensure that the necessary government and services are being rendered. Now, my friends, what the heck happened? Why is it that we actually started, you know, making this theocratic position that we wanted to start judging people and holding them accountable to your particular faith? I mean, come on. Okay, so as we kind of look here at this, you know, this situation that we're dealing with in the religious test, the one thing that we're supposed to actually be focused on is their support. They are to support the Constitution, which means that and in the oath of a citizen, support and defend against enemies, foreign and domestic. The very specific word, just because they didn't use support and defend doesn't mean that they aren't supposed to defend it. This word support is something that is very active, and we get into this with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. But more importantly, what we want to do is we want to help you, you know, get your arms wrapped around these different oaths. So the president actually has a unique oath that wasn't mentioned in Section 3. And this is what he is to take an oath. And this is actually out of Article 2 of the Constitution. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. There you go. That's his job. That is his priority. And when we have a president that is not preserving, protecting, and defending the Constitution and actually acting out in rebellion against it like we've had with Joe Biden, like we've had with Obama, and in some extents we've had a little bit with Trump, we've even had lots with Bush and Clinton and the other Bush and many other presidents. Well, until we start holding these people accountable to the letter of the law, then we are going to reap the corrupt government that we're sowing. The vice president's oath is actually a little bit different. And it basically, this is what it states. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and thou bear truth, faith, and allegiance to the same. That I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and I will and faithfully discharge the duties of this office of which I'm about to enter, so help me God. I mean, it's a lot like the citizen's oath, but it's still the same thing, supporting the Constitution. We'll be right back after these two messages. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Sorry about that. Anyway, let me move forward. Okay, so the vice president has a pretty interesting oath of office, and I think it's one that kind of really aligns with the U.S. citizen. The congressional oath is a little bit different, and this is the typical oath that legislators take. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, right there it is, support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies. Now, there are plenty of state legislators and plenty of state oaths where they have taken away the and defend. I don't like that. I would like to actually, you know, I love the Wyoming oath, where the Wyoming actually requires that they support, defend, and obey the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of office on which I'm about to enter, so help me God. Now, a federal judge does not take an oath to support the Constitution. And I want you to hear this, because listen for support the Constitution. I, state their name, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will administer justice without respect to persons and do equal right to the prior and to the rich, or to the poor and to the rich, I'm sorry, and that I will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform all the duties incumbent on me as judge, as Supreme Court judge, or what have you, the title, under the Constitution and laws of the United States, so help me God. So what they just said was, and will faithfully and impartially discharge and perform all the duties incumbent upon me under the Constitution. Well, hold on here. That does not say that they have to support the Constitution. As a matter of fact, they place what they call justice for the individual priority instead of ensuring justice be obtained in line with the laws of the Constitution. Whether we like the constitutional laws or not, we have to support them. But what they've just done in this oath, a long, long time ago, they perverted it so that they could actually make rules against the Constitution and not violate their oath. I hope you understand this. I hope you understand that right here, federal judges do not and are not supporting the Constitution based on their oath. And so if you want to actually get a judge, if you go into court and you say, well, I don't trust you, judge, because you are not following the oath in accordance to Article 6 of the Constitution, and I request that you take a new oath that meets the standards and requirements that you will support the Constitution. Because bottom line, Section 3 is very, very clear. And so, where did I have Section 3? Sorry about that. Let me just go straight to Section 3, because I want you to understand what Section 3 of the 14th Amendment says, and we're going to go through this because it is relevant. Section 3 says, no person shall be senator, representative in Congress, or elector of president or vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the oath or under the United States or under any state, who have previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of the state legislature, executive, or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid and comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress, it right there, it includes judges. And it requires in Article 6 that all judges must. And therefore, if all judges must actually take the oath of office, then they are not above the law. If they fail to support the Constitution by providing a ruling that actually violates the Constitution, then they need to be removed. We need to really look at what the processes are, and I think that we don't have to make it too chaotic. What I mean by that is I don't think we need to have rules to remove judges, remove political officials at the whims of the people. I believe that you have to be able to create a good, solid academic argument of how the law was violated. Let that person stand forward and let them defend themselves immediately. And if they create a good enough case and the accuser or those people that are applying to have that person removed feels that it is inadequate, that it is unsatisfactory, then that would need to go into a common law court, where the common law court would be basically convened to make the determination of whether this person violated their oath of office. Now, when I say a common law court, that means that he doesn't appear in front of a judge magistrate and is going to be processed at the financial, benefit of the court itself. A common law court is a court that is really it's a low-cost court, but it is a court of the people. A jury of your peers, a jury of the vicinage, so that these people will go through the facts and they will determine whether this was done or not. Now, if there is, actually we'll get into that because that's, I'm jumping ahead. What we want to do is we want to kind of cover all of this because this is where the petition and what we need to do regarding the petition for this is really, really, really important. So let me move forward, because one of the things that we deal with that I don't think anybody's even ever mentioned is corporations. Do corporations operate as an organization in America? Yes, they do. Do they govern their business? Yes, they do. They are a form of government of people. Now, even though they may not be elected or what have you, they still have the power and authority to inject upon people. In other words, there are cases, and we're starting to see this, folks, where corporations are actually requiring their employees to basically violate the Constitution and or the law. and or they are violating these constitutional rights of the people, like vaccination mandates. So I believe that there is that. So now we're talking about these ideas of petitions. Right now, corporations do not take oaths. Corporations need to take oaths. So this becomes our first petition. So what has to happen is that we have to require that all corporations and bodies of governance, whether they be businesses, whether they be nonprofits, any type of organization, they need to take an oath that they must, because here they are operating and telling people what to do. You do not have any. So in the military, everybody takes an oath so that the guy that's giving you an order takes an oath that he must defend and support the Constitution and follow all laws that are legal and constitutional. And therefore, if he orders you to do something that is contrary to the law, then he can be basically court-martialed. He can be removed. It's the same thing with a corporation. We need corporations to actually understand that there is a very specific behavior in this land, that they must support the U.S. Constitution. We do not and cannot allow and recognize international governance to operate within the United States. Cannot. And so what we have to do is we have to make sure, because here's the question. Do corporations govern their people? Absolutely they do. Do they have the authority to govern their executive offices, conduct, and the employees, the conduct of their employees? Absolutely they do. Can they legislate away once inalienable rights? Well, they've been doing that. They're trying to do that. But no, technically they cannot. That cannot occur in the United States. If states cannot, if the sovereign states cannot pass a law, make a law that infringes upon one's or abridges one's privileges and immunities guaranteed to U.S. Constitution, corporations cannot do the same. And so we need to have a petition pointing at corporations. We also, as you start these I'll include nonprofit organizations, any type of organization that exists within the United States that lays out some form of governance, that lays out standards, missions, behavior, blah, then they need to incorporate an oath for every member. I don't care if you live in society and you have to take 15 total oaths to get where you are. One is a U.S. citizen, one is a member of your church, one is a member of your party. You can rack them all up. I really don't care. I honestly believe that the more we are held accountable by that oath, and the more that we embrace that oath, and the more we understand the consequences of that oath, then we will be able to really put this all together. Now, I only have a few seconds left. So we're going to, in our next episode, we're going to kind of tie all of this again together along with the consequences, because without putting the consequences to this, you know, this is really interesting and it's nice to know and it's something to think about, but it really seals the deal. It closes the door on how we can stop corruption and move forward in a land of enlightenment. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.